Corinthians chapter 5. We were delighted to have with us last week the Fidenas, and they weren't appointed to be here, but they showed up, and we were glad to have them. And then on Monday, my wife was off Monday, I was off Monday, so we rode down to Fairless Hills and Levittown and went to dinner with them, spent a few hours with them, had a great time. Mrs. Fidena had one of the best days on Monday she's had in a long time. And we are just so very thankful. She was not doing well on Sunday when she was here. So just keep them in your prayers, and we certainly thank God for them. And the efforts at PowerPoint that I've been making are much attributed to Pastor Fidena and my wife, encouraging me to try to do that, that it would be a help to those who come to services. And so we're working on that. He gave me another lesson on Monday. We were visiting, and my wife mentioned something about PowerPoint, and I said, well, I'm working on it, but I don't know how to do some things with it. And he said, well, I'll show you. And he went and got his laptop, and he sat down beside me there on the couch. He said, here's what we do here, and he went through the whole thing. And he's a wonderful teacher, and I thank God for him. We're in Ephesians 5. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in the pew rack. We'd encourage you to get it. Verses 1 through 21. I'm going to read these verses. I want you to follow along with me. Ephesians 5, Paul writes, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this we know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." And let's pray. Father, again, we're thankful for this blessed book, thankful for the truths, the principles, the precepts you've given to us to govern our lives, that we might live for you like you want us to. Now, as we see the truths you have for us here today, help every one of us to be willing to submit ourselves to them. No doubt there's need for change in all of our lives. There's places where we're not pleasing you and being what you have us to be, failure in areas. I pray that today we would be sensitive to the Holy Spirit as He pinpoints those things, and we would be willing to change. And then I pray for those who are here without Christ. No doubt there are some folks here who have never been saved, and our burden is that today, when the invitation is given, they'll come and allow us the privilege of showing them right from your word how they can know they have eternal life. Use me. This is where you have taken me this week, Lord. This is what you've shown me. And I pray that you'd help me to be the preacher, the messenger boy you'd have me to be. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at Look at verse 8 of our text, where the Bible says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord," and then the admonition, "Walk as children of light." And that's the sermon for today. Walk as children of light. Now, most of us at some time in our lives have had the experience of having to function in darkness. For some, it might have been when you were in a room or a building and the lights went out. And you were kind of left to grope and feel your way out of that situation. For others, your experience with darkness came as a result of a blindfold being put over your eyes when you were engaging in a game, maybe pin the tail on the donkey or the pinata game, you know, where they put that blindfold on and you're supposed to swing and break the pinata. But most of us have in one way or another experienced the difficulty and danger of having to function without being able to see and perceive what's around us. Now then, knowing the difficulty and dangers of trying to function in darkness, wouldn't it be foolish to blindfold ourselves and to go around turning lights out and putting covers over our windows so we could be in the dark? You say, "Boy, that'd be foolish." Wouldn't it be foolish for looking for places where there is no light rather than places that are well lit and illuminated? Why, a person would be silly to try to function in darkness knowing the difficulty and knowing the dangers that darkness holds. This morning in our text, we find God telling us that those who are saved, and He refers to the children, His children, and He says that those who are saved were once in spiritual darkness, but now since they've come to Christ, they're in spiritual light. Where they once groped around and stumbled through life in darkness, now they have their spiritual eyes opened. And they're able to perceive things as they really are. Then God gives us that admonition. Because of that, now we must walk as children of light. Sadly, many Christians do something spiritually they never dream of doing physically. They continue to walk in spiritual darkness. It seems like they just put the blindfold back on. They turn out the light, so to speak, and function like they were still in that darkness. And that ought not to be in the life of the believer. This morning I believe every Christian needs to walk as a child of light. And I want to speak for just a little while on how we can do just that. How are we to walk as children of light? Well, we can do so. We can do so What's up, Pastor Meyer? Down button, right? We're getting nowhere. All right, we'll let him work on that. But we're to do so by, number one, separating ourselves from sin. Still no good. What about that? Thank you. Separating ourselves from sin. And notice our text here. He says that we're to walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And then notice this. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now here Paul is reminding us that we ought to behave ourselves in such a way as to show that we indeed are the children of light. In order to behave as the Lord would have us to, Paul gives us a twofold instruction here in these verses. Number one, he says, discern what is acceptable behavior to the Lord. He says, proving. And that means to be putting to the test. We are to put to the test the things that we do and the things around us. And we're to evaluate things in light of what's acceptable for a Christian or what's acceptable in the Lord's eyes. We need to weigh our activities. We need to weigh our actions. We need to weigh our attitudes against God's Word. and say, Lord, how do you feel about these things? Proving what is acceptable to the Lord. And then secondly, we need to separate ourselves from that which is wrong in God's eyes. Number one, we determine, Lord, how do you feel about these things? When God says it's wrong, then we need to separate from it. By the way, here's some points about that. We're still not there, Pastor Meyer. Number one, God is the judge. Don't ever lose sight of that. It's God who does the judging. What does God say about a particular thing? Number two, the duty is mine. It's not for somebody, listen, while I preach against sin and I cry against sin and I try to warn you about sin and all that, it's not for me to tell you what's right and wrong, really. See, when I tell you what's right and wrong, I'm telling you from the Word of God. It doesn't matter what I think is right and wrong. It matters what does God say is right and wrong. You know, sometimes people get upset with me. Well, you said this is wrong or that's wrong. Did I show it to you from the Bible? Then don't get mad at me. I'm just a messenger boy. You know, Pastor Vedenta used to say, you don't throw rocks at the paper boy. Huh? Isn't that true? So we need to realize the judge is God. The duty's mine. I'm the one that has to dig it out. I'm the one that has to find out what does God say. And there's an appropriate response that is necessary. I need to do something about it. I need to take action. It's wrong. And then I need to reprove those things God is against. You know what that means? That means we have to speak out against them. We have to declare them to be wrong. We have to take a strong stand against them. In other words, we got to quit being indifferent. I find a lot of indifference in the hearts and minds of God's people about sin. Well, it's wrong, but I'm not doing it, so... No, we need to speak out against it. Pornography's wrong. Well, I'm not looking at it, preacher. Yeah, but it's killing our society. Abortion's wrong. Well, we're not involved in it. Yeah, but we need to speak out against it when we have opportunity. And on down the list we could go. There's so many things we know are wrong, but we never say anything about it. You know, that's one reason America's in a mess she's in. I don't know whoever said it, but it's often been said, the only thing it takes for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. And that's where we found ourselves. We don't want to be the bad guys. We don't want people to look down their nose at us and call us fundamentalists and Bible thumpers and criticize us. But God says, reprove them. And that means to speak out against. By the way, notice the verse there. He says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. God don't even want us to talk about some of that stuff that they're doing in secret. By the way, there's another way you can take that verse. We need to be careful about what we talk about in secret. Don't come to church and say you're against this and against that and against the next thing and go home and engage in it. Well, number two, being careful in our daily walk. How else can I walk as a child of light? Being careful in my daily walk. Look at verse 15. Seeing then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. See, a fool doesn't pay much attention to where he's walking. He's just, you know, headlong. Wise man pays attention. A wise man is careful. And really, that's what Paul's trying to tell us here. We need to be careful in our daily lives. We as Christians are called upon to be careful in how we behave and how we walk. Circumspect means to be extremely careful. I often liken it to walking in a minefield. You ever see those shows where, you know, somebody's in a minefield and they got to get out? What do they do? I'll tell you, they're extremely careful about their walk. Because there's danger at every step. And that's how we should live. See, we don't understand there's danger at every step. Believers must be careful how they behave. You see, our flesh is weak, isn't it? Have you ever noticed how flesh your weak is? Or how weak your flesh is? I made one of them last week and Pastor Fedena reminded me about it. But our flesh is very weak. Watch, we're in January. Everybody's on a diet in January, right? We make up our mind. I am not going to eat this and I'm not going to eat that and I'm not going to go here and eat and I'm not... And the next thing you know, we're doing exactly what we say we're going to do. You know why? Our flesh is weak. I'm not going to eat at Applebee's this month. And we go by Applebee's. And here we are. Amen? That's the way it is. No steakhouse for me this month. Where are we at Friday night? Steakhouse. Because the flesh is weak. And so we need to be careful in our daily walk because we live in the flesh and our flesh is weak. We need to be careful where we take our flesh. And sin is attractive and powerful. Wow. Sin is very attractive and powerful. Hey, in all honesty, a lot of sinful activities are pleasurable for a season. Listen, a lot of those things that are sin, I can't stand up here and tell you they're not pleasurable at all. They bring a great deal of pleasure to the flesh. That's why they're so tempting. But see, it's only for a season. Because payday comes. Sin is pleasurable for a season, and sin is very powerful and attractive. And many sinful activities draw us and tempt us, and we need to be careful that we avoid them and not give in to them. For instance, an alcoholic needs to stay out of the bar room. Anybody who's a recovered alcoholic and you know has that in their past, they'll tell you, they can't go in the bar room and drink Coca-Cola. Because sooner or later they're going to give in to the temptation. Drug user has to stay away from drugs. Someone who's hooked on pornography has to stay away from that. Or been delivered from pornography has to stay away from that. One little look can draw you back into it. We need to be very careful about these things that the flesh is just so weak. Sin is attractive and powerful, and I want you to notice this. Satan is attractive and powerful. He comes as an angel of light. Well, he makes things look good, doesn't he? Ah, you won't get caught. It'll be fun. Nobody's going to know. And you are going to have the time of your life. Yeah. Once again, I said, till payday come. But that sin just is so attractive to us. So we need to walk carefully. I need to know that sin is there and I can get involved in it at any minute. And then Satan is a powerful foe. Peter says that we need to be careful because Satan is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. If I told you there was a lion out there waiting for you in the parking lot, you'd be very careful when you went out there. If you went out there. But if you had to go out in the parking lot and you knew there was a roaring lion out there, boy, you'd be looking both ways and doing everything you could to be careful. Well, we need to see Satan and sin that way and understand we've got to walk carefully in our lives. I'll tell you what, I believe there are too many believers kind of bebopping down through their life, you know, not paying any attention, getting in a lot of trouble. Not careful. You know, all the devil wants to do is ruin us. And he's waiting to pounce on us. And many of us have learned he is unscrupulous and merciless. Listen, if a lion attacked you in the parking lot, you wouldn't beg for mercy. Because a lion's not going to show you any. You know that he's ruthless and there's no mercy with him. And God wants us to understand that about the enemy. He has nothing good for us. Nothing. So we need to be careful. We need to walk as children of light by separating ourselves from sin, by being careful in our daily lives, and then by making the best use of our time for God. Verse 16, he says it. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And of course, redeem there carries the idea of buying up for oneself, buying back. And I think when Paul uses it here, he has the idea and he's trying to tell us to use our time wisely. We're not to let it slip from us, but we're to be diligent in how we use the time that we've been given. You know, time is one of our most valuable assets. We only get so much. And everybody gets the same amount. I'm not talking about years. I'm talking about every day. We all get 24 hours. And we have to invest our 24 hours. And Paul's saying, hey, you better invest your time wisely. Redeem the time. And so we have to strive to make the best use of our time. We need to be diligent in using our time for eternal things rather than temporary things. We're going to live a certain amount of years. Only what's done for Christ will last. Or only a few years. How's it go? I'm having a senior moment, baby. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Amen. I found it. But that's you making the best use of our time. It's a requirement of God because we only have so much. And we invest in what we do. We can use our time in eternal things when we do things like serving God and living for the Lord and reading His Word and doing His will and witnessing to others and discipling other people and investing in things that are going to matter in eternity. We waste our time when we go after things that don't matter in eternity. And of course, we know all these things are one day going to be left behind. All the things that we're struggling for, and we see the world, dog-eat-dog world, you know, killing each other over and backbiting and just all kinds of things they're doing to get one ahead of the other so they can have more. And ultimately, you know, Ecclesiastes talks about it. Job talks about it. We're going to leave it all behind. Only what we invest our time in eternal things, is really going to matter. I think about how the world wastes its time. I think about how they chase their careers and their money and their popularity and their trophies and on we could go. One day they leave this world and they have nothing of eternal value. By the way, there's an interesting verse. Hold your place in Ephesians. Go over to Ecclesiastes. Here's Solomon who found out how empty the world really is. How the things of the world can't please. He tried it all. He got away from God. He tried wine, women, work, or just you name it. He tried it. He comes to the end of his life and he realizes vanity of vanity, always vanity. It's all empty. In Ecclesiastes 9, in verse 10, he says something that's very interesting. He says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might, or with thy might. Then notice this. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Think about this. We better get everything done we want to get done for the Lord right here and right now, because one day when we graduate to heaven, if we're saved, we're not going to be able to do any more for Him there. Our service is here. This is our preparatory time. This is where we earn our rewards. This is it right here. And then we go to be with Him forever, and we reap our rewards. One day we're all going to die, and our opportunity to serve the Lord is going to be ended. How much time are you investing in serving Him? How much of your time are you redeeming? Fourthly, we're to walk as children of light. Well, by knowing and doing the will of God. Oh, how many people have said, oh, I wish I knew God's will for my life, and I tell them I know exactly what it is. Really? Yeah. Be in His Word and live by His Word every day of your life. You can't get out of His will. But Paul says, very interesting there, he says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. God expects us to learn what God's will is. Let me give you some things that are God's will. Number one, it's God's will for every person to be saved. 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4. Tells us, go over there. Don't just take my word for it. Check it out. 1 Timothy 2. Paul says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. That's God's will. Well, then why isn't everybody saved? Because God gives us a free will to choose whether we're going to be saved or not. We have the opportunity to say yes to Jesus or turn Him away. But God's will is for all men everywhere to be saved. God's will is for every Christian is that we give ourselves to Him. Surrender to Him. Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. How many of you like to think of yourself as a reasonable person? Let me ask that again. How many of you like to think of yourselves as a reasonable person? All right. Now, don't raise your hands, but how many of you think your mate's reasonable? I shouldn't go there, should I? Amen. Oh, we like to think, I'm a reasonable person. Well, God says, if you're saved, it's reasonable for you to give yourself to Him in sacrifice, to yield yourself and surrender to Him. That's the will of God. Oh, I wish I knew the will of God for my life. There it is, surrender. Let Him have His way. Number three, here's the will of God. That we love one another. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. You have loved one to another. 1 John talks extensively about loving the brethren. That's the will of God. We need to love one another. Well, you know, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, they're hard to love. Yeah, well, maybe you are too. God didn't say love the ones that's easy to love. Matter of fact, He said, anybody can do that. He said, love the ones that's hard to love. Love your enemies. Oh, that's a hard sign. And that's God's will, that we'll be thankful in everything. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Oh, we can bellyache and moan and groan, can't we? Yes, we can. We can do it with the best of them. We don't like this. We don't like that. This is bad. That's bad. You know, Obama's still in the White House, and the Senate's still the Senate, and the House is still the House, and America's still a mess, and we can grumble and groan and complain and moan with the best of them. God says, be thankful in everything. Well, you know, I got some physical problems. Be thankful and everything. It could be a whole lot worse. One of the things that I've been struck with in the physical things I've had to encounter is there's a lot of people that would love to be in my situation. I'm what they call treatable. There's many who have been told, we can't do anything for you. In everything, give thanks. Well, my car broke down last week. I'm not going to go there. Relax. I didn't say anything about you owning a Ford. My car broke down last week. Well, thank God you have a car. Some people don't have one. In everything, give thanks. I know it's hard to be thankful for a flat tire. But God might have just kept you from a bad accident. In everything, give thanks. And so, that's the will of God. That's how God wants us to live. Not, you read the Old Testament. Over and over again, we find a reference to these Israelites murmuring and complaining. Have you read that? God don't like that. He don't like us when we murmur. How many of you have kids? How many of you like it when your kids murmur and complain? You want to pinch their little head off. Man, you got food, you got clothes, you got activities, you got this, you got that, and you're murmuring, complaining. I don't want to hear it. How do you think God feels? What we need to understand is it's the Bible that reveals God's will to us. This is where we find God's will. Once again, I wasn't trying to be a smart aleck when I said people come to me and I say, I don't know God's will for my life, and I tell them I do. And I point them to just live by the book. Because that's God's will. That's why He gave us the Bible. He didn't give it to us to put on the coffee table as a pretty centerpiece. He didn't give it to us just to say, I own a Bible. He didn't give it to us just to look over a couple of verses when we eat our Wheaties in the morning. God says, I want you to learn about me and my will. It's here. It's right here. Walking as children of light, number five, by being a spirit-filled Christian. Paul says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, if you've been a Christian any length of time, you know that all of us who are saved have the Holy Spirit. The Pentecostals like to say to you, you know, have you received the Holy Ghost? And I like to say, yes, I have. They always like to be real mysterious about it. Oh, then you've spoken in tongues. No, I haven't. I don't think tongues are for today. And as I study my Bible, I don't see tongues as any indication I've been filled by the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, I've seen a lot of people who said they spoke in tongues, that they were filled with the Holy Spirit, living like the devil. What's wrong with that picture? But I have the Holy Spirit because at the instant of salvation, according to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, I was baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. And at that instant, He took up residence in my heart and in my life. And if you're a believer, the same thing happened to you. We have the Holy Spirit within us. And that verse in Romans says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. So if you don't have the Holy Spirit in your heart and life today, you're not saved. Don't judge me, preacher. I'm not judging. I'm telling you what the Bible says. Remember, we're back to God who'll do the judging. And then we all... Where did you go, preacher? There we go. I'm learning. We have all of Him we're ever going to get. When you got the Holy Spirit, you got all of Him. There's no second blessing. And when we say being filled, it doesn't mean God give me more of the Holy Spirit. No, it means God help me to give the Holy Spirit more of me. That's what being filled with the Spirit is. And then, being filled with the Spirit is when we're completely yielded to Him and controlled by Him. That's what a Spirit-filled Christian is. It's not something spooky. It's not something that we speak in tongues. It's not we have the gift of healing and all that. No. Being filled with the Spirit is when we let Him have control of our lives. So, we can walk as children of light by separating ourselves from sin, being careful in our daily lives, making the best use of our time, knowing and doing the will of God, being a Spirit-filled Christian, as Paul lays out here. Number six, by being thankful, and I'm not going to belabor this point because we've already talked about being thankful to God. He says there in verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, being a thankful people, not murmuring and complaining. And then number seven, let me get to the next. There it is. Verse 21. We can walk as children of light by being submissive to the authority God places over us. He says there, submit yourselves one to another. You know what he's talking about? We talked about this in Sunday school. He's talking about having a humble heart and as a believer, willingly submitting myself to the authorities God places over me. And if you'll read on in this chapter, he talks about a wife submitting to the husband, husband submitting to Christ, the children submitting to their parents, servants submitting to their master, taking care of the servants, etc., 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 and the power structure. In Romans 13, he talks about believers supposed to be submitted to the government. In Hebrews chapter 13, it talks about believers supposed to be submitted to those that God's placed over us in the spiritual realm, who pray for us and watch for our souls. Walk as children. Do you understand this? God has placed authority over us for our own protection. Isn't that a hard thing to swallow? Nod your little head like this. It is hard to swallow. The same as it's hard for your children to swallow. How many times do our kids not like our rules? Why can't I go there? Why can't I do that? Why can't I have that? Have you ever heard that? And you say, because I'm your parent, and I said no. But the reality is, because you see something there that's going to be harmful. And you are trying to protect them. But they don't see it. Do they? And neither did you when you were a teenager. And we're the same way with God as Christians. But God says, look, I've placed authority over you to protect you. You need to learn to place yourself under the authority that I've given. And so if we're really going to walk as children of light, if we're going to come out of the darkness and walk like God wants us to walk and live like God wants us to live, we're going to have to come to that place where we humble ourselves and say, okay, Lord, I am going to submit to those authorities you place over me. I'm going to line myself up with what your word says about submitting ourselves. By the way, it's a willing submissiveness. Again, we're back to the free will God's given us. We can choose to say no, just like your children, when you tell them no. They have a decision to make, don't they? I remember so vividly when I was a youngster. I had a brother that played in a drum and bugle corps. How many of you know what that is? It's marching and drum and bugle. Our town had one, and my brother played the slide trombone. He got involved in it. He loved it. He was a year and a half older than me. One Saturday, there was a drum and bugle corps thing on Saturday evening that he wanted to go to, a parade. My parents were going somewhere, and they said, you can't go. I want you and your two brothers, there were three of us at home yet, I want all of you to stay home together while we're gone. So my parents went. As soon as they were gone, my brother got his uniform, got his trombone, and took off. He went to the parade. He came back before they got home, put his uniform away, he didn't put his uniform away. He came home, put his horn away, and went about his business. Next week, my mom gets a phone call. And this lady tells who she is. She says, you know, my daughter's in the drum and bugle corps with your son. And I felt so bad about what happened with his uniform. My mother said, oh, he didn't tell me about that. And a lady said, oh, well, he probably didn't want to mention it to you, but my daughter spilled hot chocolate all over his uniform. My mother said, when did that happen? Saturday night at the parade. He didn't tell you anything about it? No, it must have slipped his mind. We'd sure like to pay for his uniform, but be sure your sin will find out. Now, something bad could have happened to my brother doing what he did. And my parents were only trying to protect him because they wouldn't be home if something happened. But he had to have his own way. By the way, it's the same with us. We can exercise our free will. We can tell God, I'm not going to submit to the authority of your word or whoever you put over us or whatever it is. But let me tell you something. Just like with my brother, payday comes. Can I tell you, it was not a pleasant day in our home for my brother. I will leave it at that. Walking as children of light. And Paul goes down through here, bing, 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 on how we can walk as children of light. The question is, are you walking as a child of light? Or have you been saved and you just keep putting the blinders back on and walking in darkness, so to speak, and not listening to what God said? You can do that if you want to. But remember, payday comes. And you're walking in darkness where there's a lot of danger. And I want you to think about this. Many of you have had days of trouble in your life. And when you've looked back, you've said, I know why I'm in trouble. I wasn't walking in the light. I went out there in the darkness where the danger is. And now I'm reaping what I sowed. Hey, let's stay in the light. Best place to be. I don't know about you. I don't like darkness. You know Boogeyman lives there? Walking as children of light. Let's bow our heads. A couple of questions for you. Walking as children of light. First, the most important question is, are you a child of light? And by that, I'm asking, are you saved? Has there been a time in your life where you realize you're a sinner before a just and righteous and holy God? And you need your sins forgiven and you need cleansing and you need God to save you. And you've come to that place where you've bowed your knee and opened your heart to Jesus Christ and asked Him to come into your heart and be your Savior. Have you done that? If you know of a time in your life when you accepted Christ, and right now you don't have a doubt, if you died right now, you know you're going to heaven because you've been saved, you've been born again, that's been dealt with, taken care of. If that's your testimony, would you hold your hand up? Yeah, I know I'm saved. I'm a child of the light. I've been born again. No doubt in my mind. You can put your hand down. I wonder, maybe some here said, preacher, I've never done that. You might even say, you know, a lot of people think I'm saved, but the truth is, preacher, I know I'm not, and God knows I'm not. And I am burdened because I don't want to die and go to hell. And preacher, today, I'm willing to admit I need Christ. And I'm willing to come and, in the invitation, allow somebody to show me how to be saved today. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up high? Anyone at all? Preacher, I need to be saved today. God bless you. Somebody else, preacher, I need to be saved today. I'm not saved. I know it. God knows it. I want to get it settled. Here's my hand. Anyone else today? Now let me ask this question. How many believers in this room, folks who have been saved, would say, preacher, I'm a believer, and I believe to the best of my ability, I'm walking in the light. I'm not saying I'm perfect, but I'm striving to walk in the light like Paul said I ought to do. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up high? Hold it up high. God bless you. You can put it down. I wonder how many would say, preacher, I haven't been walking in the light. God knows I know it, but I need to. It's what I need to start doing is walking in the light like He wants me to. And God's Holy Spirit's convicting me today, and I'm making the decision from today forward. I want to walk in the light. I want to strive to be in the will of God and walk the way He wants me to walk, live the way He wants me to live. That's my decision today. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up high? Making that decision today, God's speaking to my heart. God bless you. Let's stand together. Song number 485.